Welcome to CoinStack, our podcast and newsletter on Bitcoin, Ethereum, Polkadot, DeFi, blockchain, Web 3.0, and the future of money. Let's get started.
Peer is a Web 3 social network and blockchain technology company founded by Tony Tran to develop consumer-focused blockchain software, hardware, and services for the next evolution of the internet. Peer's headquartered in Seattle, Washington. You can learn more about Peer by going on their site, peer.inc, or follow for more on Twitter by going to @peerpmc. CoinStack is sponsored by FTX. FTX is the safe, regulated way to buy and sell Bitcoin and other digital assets. Trade crypto with up to 85% lower fees than top competitors. FTX US is also the only leading exchange that supports both Ethereum and Solana NFTs. You can trade NFTs with no gas on FTX US and gas subsidized when you withdraw off the platform. Check out FTX US today or download the FTX app for Android and iOS. What's going on, everyone? This is Mike, your favorite DeFi degen. On this episode of CoinStack, we're going to do a deep dive on a little-known project known as Peer, the Web 3.0 social network. Peer is building a decentralized social network that is designed to be the Web 3.0 version of Facebook, plus much more. Under development for the last 3 years, Peer is getting ready to launch a major new decentralized social network. Think Facebook, but with a token that rewards creators, with users owning their own data, with a different type of business model. Peer is building their social network on top of their own high-throughput blockchain that is designed to be even faster than Solana and Avalanche. The utility token driving the ecosystem and rewarding creators will be called the Peer Metaverse Coin, or PMC, which is expected to launch later this month in June 2022. Peer has raised $14 million to date and is led by CEO Tony Tran, COO Heath Abbott, and Chief Design Officer Kyle Hay. Peer plans to launch their token in June. You can sign up for Peer's PMC token by heading over to coinstack.substack.com. Click on the link to get on that wait list. Web 3.0, the next generation of the internet. To put Peer's Web 3 offering into perspective, let's share some background on what exactly Web 1, 2, and Web 3 is. Web 3.0 is the next generation of the internet that allows users to own their data, which can then be ported to multiple applications, creators to be paid via token rewards, the ability to create all new media formats never before possible, open source algorithms, new business models that aren't reliant on advertising. Over the next 5 years, you can imagine that common Web 2.0 applications like Airbnb, Uber, and Facebook will all be replaced by Web 3.0 applications, where renters, drivers, and users are actually getting rewarded, such that value creation is shared among users, creators, builders, and investors. In Web 3, users own their entire digital footprint from social and media content they've collected throughout their lives. Peer calls this a decentralized federated identity, or DFI. Users will be able to create public utilities, access tokens to their data, so they don't need to share their DFIs with each service they sign up with, decreasing their vulnerability on the net. Services they want to use will request a token, which they'll share, and users can revoke access at will. People's data will essentially function like an API in Web 3.0. Their wallets will contact the application data, and people will own their wallets. Mark Andreessen and Chris Dixon from A16Z were on the Bankless podcast the previous week, covering Web3 and their new $4.5 billion crypto fund. This is where the web is going. Let's lay out some context. What was Web 0.0 and 2.0? Web 1.0 is considered to be a period between 1993 and 2003. The internet was mostly a collection of static web pages, meaning users have read-only access to the web. These static pages were composed using three fundamental technologies. They used the following three major protocols: HTML, URLs, and HTTP. There was no logging in or interacting with posts or viewing analytics during Web 1, and it was not user-friendly. No algorithms could dynamically serve pages, and web pages themselves were also very basic. The functions that served the most purpose were things like email or perhaps the real-time retrieval of news and the like. Most of the early internet was not even monetized by ads. It was mostly just one giant hyperlinked web of pages sourced from various search engines such as Yahoo, AltaVista, or Netscape. A simple summary of each key epoch of the web in the last 30 years is 1993-2003, Web 1, read-only, 2004-2019, Web 2.0, read-write, and 2020 and onwards, Web 3, read-write-own. Web 2.0, software on the internet. Then, around 2004, came the concept of Web 2.0. We saw a shift in how we use websites during this period. Through advancements in web technology such as JavaScript, CSS, and HTML5, interactive and rich websites started to proliferate interactive web platforms that would allow the users to generate their content and be a much larger part of these websites. Web 2.0 was not just read-only, but read-write, where the user on these platforms were fundamental to the content as well. This is sometimes also called social web. Moreover, it was driven by innovators in technology, such as mobile phone apps and companies that had flourished in Web 2 environment, including Facebook, Google, YouTube, Twitter, Uber, so on and so forth. Web 2.0 gave us the rise of social networks, where people could view content, create content, and build communities. Social networks became a place where we could share our most intimate moments and stay connected. Software as a service companies proliferated during this time, giving rise to giants like Salesforce, HubSpot, and MailChimp that weren't possible during Web 2.0. During this time, 2002-2012, I, Ryan speaking, co-founded and built iContact into one of the leaders in email marketing SaaS offerings in Raleigh, North Carolina. While Web 2 was great for consumers, small business, and enterprise software, the business model for Web 2 social networks drove companies like Facebook to become extractive from their users and creators, and led to a centralized and controlled web that is now being revolted against. Whenever we viewed Facebook and YouTube, or even performed Google searches, these centralized companies started collecting data about us so that they could serve us better content, which in turn would make us stay on our websites longer. Eventually, these monoliths realized that they could package up all the data collected on us and sell it to advertisers. Web 2.0 is the age of targeted advertising and the lack of privacy for its users.
Celo, the mobile-first blockchain that makes financial tools accessible to anyone with a mobile phone number, is a proud sponsor of CoinStack. Connect, transact, and store your crypto assets on the Celo blockchain using only an SMS interface. Celo is fully compatible with Ethereum, so you can run smart contracts built in Solidity. It uses proof-of-stake consensus, has high throughput, and 5-second transaction finality. Celo is now the 4th fastest-growing blockchain in all of DeFi. Learn more about Celo's family of stablecoins by visiting celo.org.
The opportunity for a Web3 social network. If Elon Musk decides to close a deal to acquire Twitter, he may make the future version of Twitter decentralized and tokenized, building upon Twitter's own Blue Sky project. Even under Musk's leadership, it will take many years to decentralize Twitter, open source its feeds, algorithms, and give a token to its content creators. While others like BitClout, Steemit, and Lens Protocol are working on it, no one has yet truly established themselves as the leading Web3 social network, what peers aiming for. Facebook, the big gorilla in the Web 2 social network space, doesn't exactly seem to be understanding the web revolution either. Facebook's biggest risk, failing on Web 3.0. While Meta/Facebook has made a full move into their proprietary enclosed metaverse accessible via the Oculus VR device, they have failed to understand that the future of the web is open platforms, not closed platforms, where they take 47.5% of metaverse sales. The biggest risk to Facebook in the next 10 years is that someone else will beat them in creating an easy-to-use and beautiful social network that actually rewards its creators and users rather than extracting value by selling their data and attention to advertisers. Facebook seems like Microsoft in 2005, late to Web 2.0. Without a significant pivot, Facebook may miss the open web revolution entirely. And no, a centralized stablecoin for payments called Libra or Diem or whatever will not save Meta. And neither will a private walled garden metaverse that takes almost half of creator sales. Why Web3 is attracting the best engineers, entrepreneurs, and investors. Web3 is the next generation of the internet that people envision will be more decentralized and permissionless, built on decentralized protocols where users help with content creation and the governance of web itself. Users can only own a part of the network for the token. Web 3.0 is bringing a decentralized alternative where we are all users, owners, and developers, and we all benefit together from the network effects and massive cash flows. New Web3 social network entrants like Peer can design a content algorithm that does not optimize for selling user access and data, but rather optimizes for providing rewards to its creators via tokens. Creators then become part owners. As Chris Dixon from A16Z wrote from last week, we think we are now entering the golden era of Web3. Programmable blockchains are sufficiently advanced, and a diverse range of apps have reached tens of millions of users. More importantly, a massive wave of world-class talent has entered Web3 over the last year. They are brilliant and passionate and want to build a better internet. Max Mersch and Richard Muir from Fabric Ventures sum this up well in their Medium article, What is Web 3.0 and Why It Matters? Web 3.0 enables a future where distributed users and machines can interact with data, value, and other counterparties via a substrate of peer-to-peer networks without third parties. The result?
composable human-centric and privacy-preserving computing fabric for the next wave of the web. The problem with social media today, monetizing users with ads and algorithms. Social networks suddenly became echo chambers of one's thoughts and beliefs, with news feeds constantly feeding us clickbait content to keep us on the platforms, pumping shareholder profits. In contrast, content creators would be paid virtually nothing for their added value to the network. These algorithms on social media apps can now make great predictions of what content you will enjoy viewing, and most of the time, that's right. How many times do you just open up social media and the content you desire is already there without you even having to search for anything? The reality is that you go onto social media without knowing what you're even looking for. The algorithm is just so powerful that you can trust that 9 out of 10 times is going to provide you with some sort of content you will enjoy. This is because of the psychological hack for some people, but unpredictability and randomness of what's going to show up next can excite people. Being able to open up an app and see what content you feel like, it's almost like a reward, like a very fortunate slot machine. You end up coming across things you didn't even know you wanted to see, but the algorithm did. Does this subconsciously create the link between the stimulus of opening the app and rewarding the dopamine hit from the seeing desirable content? As a human being, dopamine is something you crave, so you always subconsciously have a reason to keep going on to social media. The advertisers are the real customers because they pay and you don't. Your attention is what the advertisers are buying, and that wouldn't be worth anything if social media platforms did not know how to keep you on the app for longer periods. This begs the question, does there come a point where the company should be preventing certain things, like being presented just for retention? Like our Twitter fake news reads 6 times faster than real news, as it's typically more exciting and gives the app more engagement, which is what they want. One thing Peer is doing differently, the social timeline. Tony Tran, the CEO of Peer, describes the current phenomenon in Web2 social media living with blinders. And I quote, "It comes down to the way that people understand social media at this point. They are being unwittingly put into these hazardous, dopamine-driven, addictive loops. Moreover, one of the things that we have discovered as we were building this Web3 metaverse concept is that everyone is essentially seeing only a slice of the actual information. And so part of our thinking was, how can we find a mnemonic that can explain to people what is going to be on when you go and use these social networks? When you use social media, what happens to you? Blinders came to mind. Why do we put blinders on horses? We want them to see only what we choose. So when you scroll the feed, when you scroll any kind of experience on your phone, it is like you have blinders on. You can only see what is being shown to you. As a result, you get addicted from the information that your mind is looking for. Peer aims to solve this issue by researching the timeline and feed algorithm they called the fluid timeline. One of Peer's patented innovations is that their timeline isn't overly vertical scrolling, but vertical and horizontal scrolling, where the horizontal axis represents time and the vertical axis the distance away from the user, with closer stories shared first. This opens up an entirely new world of possibilities. Peer, the blockchain technology platform social network. So what is Peer? Peer is a consumer's electronic computer software and online services company, building technology for Web3 social network and metaverse. Yep, they are focused on building both a high-speed blockchain and a Web 3.0 social network app built on top of that high-speed blockchain. They plan to start with the social network app, then build out their own hardware, including wearables, head-mounted displays, and other devices and accessories that would enable users to fully immerse in the new web ecosystem, all built with open standards. Peer's native programming language is Rust, the same advanced language that Polkadot, Solana, and Near use, considered by some to be superior to Ethereum's Solidity. Peer plans to earn money not from ads, but rather from subscriptions, gamification, and network value appreciation. They plan to offer subscriptions for 1, advanced tools that let creators build and deliver blockchain experiences, 2, programmable layer that lets developers build on top of Peer, and 3, marketplace services that let people buy and sell products and services. Peer also plans to sell Web3 devices, 1, sale of primary hardware, watches and AR glasses, 2, accessories, and 3, licenses. Peer plans to launch their token in June. You can sign up for Peer's PMC token waitlist by heading on over to coinsite.substack.com. Click on the link over there. Peer's competition in Web3 social network space. While others are trying, like DeSo's BitClout, Peer is an easy-to-use interface that we've previewed, and all we can say is that it's better than BitClout's clunky UI UX of 2021. Another Peer competitor is Lens Protocol, currently being developed by Stani Kolvich, Aave's founder and CEO. Lens purpose is to allow interoperability and composability to all social networks developed on the protocol. If you upload content to one platform on the Lens protocol, it would automatically be integrated into one of all the dApps on the protocol. Lens protocol will allow creators to take ownership of their content wherever they go, in the digital garden of the decentralized internet. This is a handy feature for content creators because they will be able to take their audience from one platform to another seamlessly. Peer expects to be differentiated from Lens, as Lens is limited to your laptop and your phone and runs on Polygon. While Peer has a compelling UI UX plans to operate across multiple devices, including AR glasses and a watch, and operates their own fast L1 blockchain. Earlier attempts and decentralized social networks like Steemit have had a very hard time to use interfaces that look more like 2002 than 2022, and simply haven't reached mainstream adoption. Peer's mission is to bring blockchain to the masses and solve the Web 2 problem for social media platforms by developing a new user interface for the Web 3 metaverse. Peer aims to tackle this problem by approaching the metaverse the same way Apple approached bringing the consumer desktop to the masses. Peer aims to control the entire end-to-end experience by building hardware and software products. Tony Tran, Peer's CEO, sees a role in developing a new user interface that sits on top of Web3 metaverse world. Essentially, to build the operating system for the Web3 metaverse world, Peer is an L1 blockchain, similar to how the sandbox and Decentraland currently live on Ethereum. Peer aims to be the L1 chain that developers will flock to create the metaverse world, similar to how AWS disrupted enterprise technology companies with shared cloud hosting. A quote from Tony Tran, CEO of Peer. One of my thoughts in the early stages was that blockchain is too complicated, or everybody says that. Thus, how do we bring that complexity down a notch? How do we create an abstraction layer for blockchain technology? In the past, when you wanted to build any company, it was pretty expensive. This is what I did with my earlier startups as well. You know, you're trying to build these the safest systems, and then AWS came along and they said, hey, you know, why don't we just abstract all of that for you and give you a nice user interface that you have full control of. Moreover, the history of computing is precisely that is giving us an abstraction layer. We can really turn something that is otherwise very edgy, very high tech into tools that we can use practically today. Peer's team. Tony Tran, CEO and CTO. Tony Tran is an experienced CEO and entrepreneur. Tony was a former engineer at Microsoft. He was at Microsoft SBG, where he helped incubate and prioritize Microsoft research products and then release them into the wild. Before Microsoft, Tony was the lead marketing creatives as a creative director at McCann World Group. Tony's career highlights someone who is both a right brain, left brain thinker. Tony has been in the blockchain technology space since 2016, has been building Peer, raising $14 million seed funding in the last 3 years. Heath Abbott, COO. Heath is the COO and responsible for running the entire blockchain infrastructure. Prior to Peer, Heath was a director at various technology firms. Kyle Hay, CDO. Kyle is the chief design officer for Peer, currently heading up Peer Labs and working on developing hardware projects. Like Kyle's design experience stems from being an early employee at LeapMotion, a high-tech gestures company. Kyle was there for about 5 years and then spent the preceding 5 years at Destiny, where he also joined the ground floor building hardware products and shipping them. Kyle's leading development of ambient hardware and software for Peer. Peer's Web3 social network. Peer's first product is a Web3 social network where users own their data. A decentralized version of Facebook and Twitter will bring metaverse to life. The Peer team envisions the metaverse as an interactive world not constrained by desktop or mobile phones. Peer envisions a metaverse that marries our day-to-day lives with blockchain technology. Human beings operate dynamically across time. Today, social networks force us into a single point, and right now, our mind is fighting back. Until blockchain came along, we couldn't work with time in this way. The Web3 social network lets anyone create across the entire human experience of time, past, present, and future. This opens up a new world of possibilities. With this, we're bringing tangibility to digital items and digital content. From Tony Tran. In the past few decades, we've been digitizing the physical world. Now the reverse is happening with the metaverse. We want to take that digital thing and materialize it into the physical world. Thus, it will create brand new ways to experience the web. It will require a whole new web altogether. Moreover, it's going to require all new applications that develop so that you can experience this materialization of the digital world. Furthermore, all that is, of course, going to be anchored onto the Peer blockchain. A few company provided previews of Web3 social networking app are shown over on this deep dive that we did for Peer. Head on over to coinstack.substack.com. According to the team post-launch, there will be other DeFi dApps launching on the Peer network, including Nooncake, a decentralized media transfer protocol that will be used to create a video-based town square of Web3, Telesto, a project that aims to create micro cryptocurrency with quantitative algorithmic dampeners to hedge against market volatility, and Puffin, a template system for creating and uploading time-space assets into Peer AMI web fabric. PMC Tokenomics, the token empowering Peer's ecosystem. Peer tells us that they will be releasing their native token PMC during their initial coin exchange via Reg D506C in the US and Reg S overseas. The initial supply for PMC will be fixed and pre-minted at $2.1 billion, with the goal to sell roughly 10% or 250 million coins. With Reg D offering, the team has filed the paperwork to make their token classified as a security token, as opposed to just a utility token. Accredited investors will be able to purchase the token from their website starting later in June. During the initial coin exchange, Peer's team has indicated that every dollar raised will mint their stablecoin Peer USD. This will make USD fiat-backed initially. The initial utility of PMC will be rewarding validators and nominators as a gas for sending and minting, as a reward mechanism for driving creators in the Peer network. Peer's blockchain uses nominated proof of stake, or NPOS, so they need both nominators and validators to participate in the network. PMC token supply distribution. Peer expects token supply distribution to be as follows: private sale 15%, public sale 25%, community 20%, promotion 10%, team 10%, treasury 10%, and reserves 10%. At the moment, the Peer team does not plan on establishing a DAO for network governance. Peer believes in a hybrid approach as a far better model for developing high performance and posh consumer oriented decentralized products. As a hybrid, Peer will have a corporate structure and also a community structure. Key upcoming dates for the product include June 2022 token launch and fall 2022 social network launch. If you're interested in learning more, you can sign up for Peer's PMC token waitlist by heading on to coinsite.substack.com, get the link, and join the waitlist. From our interview with Tony Tran. As background for his CoinStack Research Deep Dive article, we interviewed Tony, and he offered the following statement to us about his vision for Peer. When I got into blockchain, skeptics quipped that blockchain is a solution looking for a problem. Obviously, they didn't have any imagination. What I saw was the next information superhighway. Blockchain today is where computing was in the 80s. Everyone's talking about how a computer and operating system works, with its circuit boards, compilers, instruction set, flotation point, etc. And that raised enough awareness and support in the enthusiast community, but not the masses, because it doesn't map to anything in the real world. It wasn't until the desktop made it make sense in the context of the real world that computer really took off. There are lots of talks today about how blockchain works, how fast it is, etc. I want to map it to the real world and create the next computing paradigm after the desktop. But how? First, the visual. For the masses to get on the blockchain, we need to map it to the surface area where work can be done. The broader, the better. If the desktop led to everything we have today, what's the next metaphor? A chain is not it. I began to envision the shape of a blockchain as a 3D mesh, where vertices are space, edges are time, and the face is a content. The notional construct emerged, a fabric that a user can interface with, and a navigation method that makes sense. So the final realization? Chain is how it works, fabric is how it looks. There's always been a social network. Social networks are social foci that I've often built with its latest technologies. As social creatures, social networking is a necessary part of human existence. In the ancient antiquity, there were the ancient wanderers, Sokhs, Agoras, Silk Road, etc., created using latest technology of the time. In the age of computing, we had bulletin boards, relay chats, forums, web rings, and the social networking as we know it today. The easiest opportunity to develop the visual view of blockchain is a social network. Next, I look for constraints that are causing a problem in the world today that decentralized fabric can solve. There's only one glaring structure that's causing all kinds of problems, the newsfeed. Each day, people wake up and end on a newsfeed of some sort. Evolved from the web's user experience, the newsfeed conforms to the form factor of our display devices, so it became an enclosed space where you can only scroll in two directions, up and down. You're forced to see whatever is shown to you and shown enough times. It reinforces a certain view. The computer is a bicycle for the mind, the newsfeed is a handcuff for the soul. It only shows a splinter of the world, and many splinters developing daily are tearing up our society apart. On Fabric, it's easy for content to proliferate and not magnify. Since it's time-based, every day is a new feed, vertically and horizontally. All the feeds are combined into one fluid timeline. That means it's harder for fake news to get back to the top, harder for misinformation to spread, and harder for disinformation to take form. It also prevents bots and algorithms from doing harm to people. So there are big problems we're solving that can change the world. I went all in. I got everybody around me to go all in. A timeline runs horizontally. So we can place everything on principal horizontal axis X, our devices are tall. So our vertical axis can either be space Y or type Z. So now we have a plane that someone can use time, space, or type to navigate fluidity through a sea of data. The real magic is that it maps to the real world, which will lead to a more realistic and believable web. Blockchain embodies time. It enables the creation of properties that only time had the power to create: immutability, scarcity, and tangibility. We embody space. With this, we have a way to now apply the time properties of blockchain to the world we inhabit. What we end up with is a new technology landscape where all kinds of incredible things can grow and emerge. A Web3 social network is the first step to bringing blockchain to the masses. We need people to live with the blockchain, upload content to it, create wonderful things from it, and make money with it. In time, it will create new web experiences, and that new web will drive development of the next computing paradigm. Conclusion: a new Web3 social network platform coming soon. The web as we know it has come a long way from the early days of static pages in Web 1 to the decentralized metaverse future that awaits us in Web 3. Web 2 allowed us to start experimenting with social networks, all allowing us to connect with one another at a greater level of efficiency and ease. The problem arose when social networks began monetizing their users at all costs by violating their privacy and developing highly addictive news feeds designed to keep us glued to a screen as long as humanly possible in the name of ad dollars. Web 3 allows for social network creators to own their content and own their followers. Peers of Web3 Metaverse Social Network on a mission to bring blockchain to the masses with a patent design that unlocks an entirely new way to create. Peer will build protocols and tools on top of the experience to enable what they term ambient web, which will drive a new computing paradigm. If you'd like more information about Peer, please visit them at peer.inc. Sign up for Peer's PMC token waitlist by going on over to coinstack.substack.com and click on the link there, or follow them on Twitter at peerpmc.
That's all for today. Thank you for listening to the CoinStack podcast, where we are tracking the most important blockchain stories of the 2020s, including a decentralized internet and the creation of a new, open, global monetary system that works for everyone. We're so happy to have you as a listener. Please share it with your friends. Please join our free newsletter at coinstack.substack.com. And also check out our Telegram group, where you can chat with others and learn even more about crypto. You can go to t.me/thecoinstack, or just type in CoinStack into Telegram to find us. Thanks so much. Hope you have a wonderful rest of your day.